It's time for the Cheap and Chaz Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all to the best and only podcast that focuses on our League of Record. Chief, how you doing?
Doing good, Chaz. I'm getting ready to go on vacation here. 5 nights in New Orleans coming up, which should be fun.
Ooh, the big easy. You're going to get yourself some Café du Monde beignets?
We'll see about that.
No. You have to get some beignets.
Well, you know, sometimes I do the touristy things when I travel. Sometimes I don't do the touristy things when I travel. And so we'll see. I'm going down with Jake. We're going to have some fun at their Southern Decadence, it's called. It's basically their gay Mardi Gras / gay pride event that they have. So we're gonna see what that's all about.
Cool. I've never been to New Orleans. I've always would have wanted to go. It's funny how I've been to a few places outside the country, but I've only been to a few of them inside the country. So I feel like there's still a lot to see, you know, in our big, beautiful country.
Yeah, I haven't really explored New Orleans too much. I went down for the Sugar Bowl when Notre Dame was in with LSU. We were there for 3 nights.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully this time we'll get a little more of the city in this time around.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you're the one with 8-9 years running now with draft grades and the Heino Hex. So do you want to drive this episode? You can drive.
Well,
this
I mean,
bus.
First off, I want to delve into what you were thinking and kind of how you came to the strategy of going after three elite running backs, and what, and you know, when did you kind of decide to pull the trigger on this, and you know, just how did this all play out?
Okay, sure. So I decided to pull the trigger on that strategy last year before last year's draft. Mm-hmm. I was actually planning on doing it last year with David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Zeke Elliott, who happened to be the players I ended up this year with. The difference was that last year, I believed I would get Zeke at a discount, so I would have more buffer room to play with in terms of, you know, other players to my draft. And then also, you know, I also believe that Zeke would end up playing the whole year, which didn't turn out the way. So I thought I would get like a, you know, I would have like this ultimate dominant team with three massive running backs and at least like one or two like really good wide receivers. But then what ended up happening was that I think it was Cat that ended up paying $64 for David Johnson. And the way, you know, our auction league is structured is that you have to spend at least $1 on players. And so basically you need to get, if you're going to go that route, each of those players has to go for $63 or under. Otherwise, you're just not likely to get it. So as soon as that happened, she bid the $64, and I basically chickened out at that point.
But wait, I got Bell first, though, last year for $62.
Was it you?
Yeah. So 62? I didn't go to 63. Okay. I got him for $62,
you know,
last year.
It's been so long, I can't remember the reason. There was a reason why I didn't go more than what I wanted to. Maybe I thought I could get them for 60, maybe that was the number, but that the 63 was more about this year's draft.
Maybe you had it set at 60 last year or something like that.
I might have had it set at 60 where I just thought like there's no way it's going to go, because actually last year was the first time we ever had a running back go for 60. So that might have been what it was, is when Bell went for 63, that might have spooked me, and then Cat spent 64. And so I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this, and I only grabbed Zeke. But this year, you know, just with the overall number of running backs, the seeds of doing that again were kind of floating around in my head. But then what happened was, you know, throughout the year, I always list out all these players that I like, but I'm always reading all the different draft content that's out there. I listen to a bunch of podcasts, but I always end up reading the Draft Day Manifesto that Matthew Berry puts out. Now, I don't really read his content because of his predictions and his rankings. I think he's not that great of a predictor and ranker. I feel like he basically just follows with everybody else. But I do appreciate his content in terms of his writing, because obviously he has a history with writing. He wrote for Married with Children, and he's written for a couple other TV shows and movies and things. So I've always liked his writing style and the anecdotes and the stories that he tells. But every year in his Draft Day Manifesto, he always talks about your goal should be to get to the playoffs, because really once you're in playoffs, anything can happen. And then he always, there's always this one stat that he talks about, which is like, you want to try and construct a roster that will provide you an average of this many points a week. And if you do that, then your likelihood of making playoffs is higher.
Right.
So I said, okay, let me, just for fun, let me try and roster construct an auction team based on the values that I had created and using the points that they would have scored last year or the previous year if they were a hurt player like David Johnson. Let me try and see what kind of team I can construct. So I went back and I looked at our data from our league of record over the past 2 years, and there were two things that I was aiming for. Number one was that my belief is that in order to get in the playoffs, I need to have at least an 8-5 record, and I need to be able to score at least 1,400 points through the first 13 weeks. If I do that, and that's only an average of like 107 points a week, which I know is a little bit low for us, but I was giving myself some margin, assuming that some weeks would be bigger than others.
Sounds about average, yeah.
Right. But if I do those two things, that should be the minimum amount I need to get into the league. Okay.
By the way, have had other running backs go for over $60 in the past. You mentioned that that was last year, might have been the first time fact checking that really quick. We have had running backs go for over 60 in the past. Not often, but it's happened.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I just, for whatever reason, it was a number that it wasn't often. So I assumed if I spent even that much money on a guy, but yeah, anyway, so I digress. So coming back to it, so I said, okay, let's say I go after three massive running backs and I spend the absolute theoretical maximum I can spend of $63, which is $186 total for three players.
Right.
Let's say, and for argument's sake, I took the three biggest guys last year, which I took Bell, I took Gurley, and then I took DJ or Zeke's data extrapolated from, so David Johnson from 2016's data, and Zeke, if he had played an entire year, because he scored like 200 points in 10 games, so that would have been 300 points. So I said, okay, so now that's for a full 16-game spread. If I ratchet that back to 13 games, so that means that if I get three of those four guys I just mentioned, theoretically, if they perform to aptitude, they should be able to score at least 285 points apiece. And so when I back that math out of the 1,400, I think that put me at like the 750 range that they were scoring. So that means I only had to come up with another 650 points out of all my other position players. So 650 divided by 13 was something like 50 points a game, give or take. And if I consider the fact that I can probably expect to get 25 points combined out of my QB and my defense, then that means that between my three wide receivers and my tight ends, I only need to average 6.5 points per position in order to meet my maximum, or in order to get to that, that number. So then I took a look at using last year's numbers and the years before's numbers. And I looked at what everyone went for on average divided by their points and started to look at what was the total in terms of my price that I'm paying at the auction draft for each point they scored for fantasy. At the top of the end of the draft, guys like Bell, guys like Gurley, guys like Zeke, like DJ, you're basically paying between 18 and 20 cents per point. And then the number goes down throughout the draft. If you have now, there are outliers, right? Like Alvin Kamara last year was like a $3, $4 buy, and he scored 300 points. Those are just always going to be there. And so that was another part of my data that I found was that every year between like very cheap, like $1, $2 players and waiver wire, there's typically a minimum of 6 to 10 guys that pop that go for well beyond their value that they were paid for. So I looked at it. I said, okay, if I only need to get 6.5 points out of those guys, my wide receivers and the tight end, if I got myself a decent QB and a decent defense, then I could potentially do this where if I go after three running backs, number one, I believe no one's going to believe I'm going to do this. So I think that everyone's going to assume that I am just bidding up. And then I should be able to grab the first or second guy for at least a dollar or two cheaper than I actually believe they should go for. Which was the case. I got Bell for 62 and I had him pegged at 63. David Johnson I got for 61 and I had him pegged for 63. And then Zeke, that one, I was just at that point when I was bidding, I assumed that somebody else, I honestly assumed that, well, then Gurley happened was next.
Right, Gurley happened.
So Gurley was happening. I got the 63. Mike went 64 and I said, you know what? I can go 65 here. Or I can back off and I can grab Zeke because I think Zeke will come in just a smidge cheaper. And I wanted to try and give myself some buffer room. And so that was fine. And then I was able to get Zeke. And I was at one point I was wondering, like, are people actually gonna let me do this? Like, I assumed that someone would try and bid me up and be like, there's no way I'm letting Chaz get the three top running backs. But my hope was that I would just be dumbfounding the league so much, like, what, I can't believe this is happening, that they wouldn't think to react to actually try and stop it from happening. So that was basically the strategy going into the draft and going in when I knew. I mean, I was waffling all day yesterday. Yeah. Or the day before, you know, I was waffling, like, do I really go through with this, or do I go to my backup plan, which is to grab, like, Melvin Gordon, Fournette, McCaffrey, Howard, guys, like, in that range, and then try and grab, like, an elite wide receiver. I'm glad I did what I did, because I don't think I could have gotten those other three guys. I mean, Gordon went for 60. McCaffrey went for 55.
Well, I mean, for 49. I think it would have made a difference of strategy. I mean, yeah.
That's true, and I was also hopefully counting on that. The fact that is that if I did that, then all of a sudden all the other running backs would be more expensive, and then the reason I did that was also, again, because if that worked, then theoretically, you know, we've always been in a situation where we spend less on the top players, like, than the values that were typically shown on ESPN, but that means that the bottom dollar guys are always going to go for a few dollars more towards the end of the draft. And I believe this year more than ever we had more $1 and $2 players than ever before, partly because of that strategy working out. And that was what I was hoping, was that there would be everyone would basically be forced into spending only a dollar or two, so that way there was a large swath of guys I just happened to like, and I could grab at least a handful of them. And I think your rankings were correct in that. I messed up my strategy, and I shouldn't have gone for Cousins. I should have grabbed a dollar QB, which I think Stafford would have been, and then spent, you know, $2 or $3 on two or three
players that you really kind of liked in that range.
Yeah, and if I'd done that, I would have gotten Aguilar. I probably would have gotten Anderson. I probably would have gotten one or two other guys. So I would be in a slightly more comfortable position. But at the end of the day, I'm still happy with the way things turned out. And, you know, it's one of those things where my team is basically, I can go in every week. And basically, if any one of my wide receivers or tight ends scores, like, just like a single touchdown, or they do decently, then you're going to be scared of the other three guys. Because realistically, if one of them does okay, as long as the other two do pretty decently, or if one of them goes off, like, any of those guys can basically help me win my week. And so that's what it comes down to, is that between those running backs, the QB, and the defense, my hope is that I will score at least 75 to 90 points per week from those five positions, and then everything else just puts me over the top. So we'll see if it's going to work. I mean, if it does work and I end up winning out this year, then I think you're going to see no one's going to, number one, allow that to happen again next year, or someone will try and then try and spend all their money. I don't know. But it was fun just to kind of throw a wrench into the mix right from the get-go. But it was really important that I get all those players early on before people were willing to spend money, because there were so many running backs that I rightfully assumed that a lot of people would say, you know what, I'll let, you know, Bell go, or I'll let, like, the first one or two running backs that I get go, because there are other quality running backs I'm comfortable getting, whereas in years past there weren't as many, and so people would be a little bit more stringent about getting, like, a top tier guy.
Well, I think that's true, and I think, you know, that's why you're probably able to get Bell early for what you did. You know, as it is the case, usually the first people nominated in a tier like that are usually the cheapest, because people figure, I'm just going to punt on this, and then I'm going to, I'm going to kick it down the road for another guy who's in the same tier. Just from my own personal perspective, I saw this happening, and I thought you were going to tap out at two. I thought, like, once you got your second one, I thought that was it. Did not think you were going to go for three. When you went after Gurley, I was like, oh boy, he's going after a third. So I kind of knew that you were not going to stop. And I saw with Zeke still there on the board, I'm like, well, if he doesn't get Gurley, he's probably going to get Zeke. And that's what happened. So my strategy going in was I wanted to try and at least grab a Fournette, Gordon, McCaffrey type, because I was going for value this year. I was not going for a top tier RB. I was going more for somebody in the 5 to 10 running back range that I think could punch up and break into that top five. And for me, Gordon and Fournette were the two primary targets. Hunt to a lesser degree, But I didn't feel as strongly about Hunt as I do about Fournette and Gordon.
I 100% agree with that. That was
kind of my overarching thing, and I had toyed with even getting two of those guys. If it broke the right way, prices were as they normally are, I was planning on maybe picking up two of them. But given how you affected the early draft, I was thrilled to get Fournette for 49 at that point.
Yeah, I mean, he'll end up being, I mean, if he scores in the 250 range, then all of a sudden the points, the money that you paid per point that he'll score is about like 15, 16 cents. And that doesn't seem like a lot, but it actually is when a person's scoring 250 points. I mean, that's $11, $12 less.
Right.
So that's basically Fournette and like Robert Woods and somebody else.
Exactly.
For the same price as
Fournette. It's Fournette, Robert Woods, and Aguilar for $60 total.
So there you go.
That's kind of how I'm viewing it. So I was thrilled with that. I was thrilled with Robert Woods, who was somebody I was targeting, and so I was kind of looking at those kind of low end receivers, like those wide receiver two, low end two, high end three types. They usually get bit up, and I'm like, oh man, I'm looking at some of these guys and their situation, and I'm thinking to myself, I like a lot of these guys, but I just know going in that these guys are probably going to get bit up like they always do, And so somebody you're targeting that you think you're going to get for $7, $8, $9 is going to get bit up to $15 to $20. And to some extent, that's what happened with a guy like Marquise Goodwin, who went for $15. Mm-hmm. And I was fully expecting it to happen with Woods. And miraculously it didn't happen. At that point in the draft, I had $13 left, and I was prepared to use all 13 of my dollars to get Robert Woods. And
right.
I thought for sure, I was sitting there, Ryan had a lot more money than me at that point. I'm like, I'm not going to get him. I'm going to try, but I'm not going to get him. And then he stopped. And I literally sat there with my jaw open. I was like, it finally happened where I was targeting a number three receiver who I think has a lot of upside. And it finally happened that I got him for a reasonable price, and I didn't have to overpay for him. I was over.
I think the reason you did is because of Brandon Cooks. If Brandon Cooks wasn't there, I think Robert Woods would have gone for more. But the fact that they brought him in,
I think you're right. I think that plays
into it. I think that tamps down the expectations.
I still think he's going to do fine.
I agree. I mean, he's going to be out there in three wide receiver sets. He's going to get his fair share of targets.
Yeah.
But I think just the expectation of what Cooks will do tamped down. And I mean, let's face it. I mean, basically it's who's going to be the hot hand in a given week. So I don't think it's going to be, necessarily Cooks. It's going to be either I think that's true. Cup
that's going to
end up being one of those two guys.
To a certain extent, that's true, that you never quite know who. I don't think Cup has as much home run potential as Woods and Cooks do, just based on the role. I think Woods will be okay on a week in, week out basis, but to pay $9 for somebody who could have monster weeks, and he had a few weeks last year when he went off.
And people probably forget that. They think Robert Woods, oh, he's like the second or third wide receiver there. They forget
he had like
the guys,
a couple like, really had, good games yeah. regular season. He had a really good playoff game against Atlanta, where I think he had like over 100 yards and like 9 catches or something like that. To pay $9 for a guy who, I think will at least get a couple catches per game and has the potential to punch up on a semi-regular basis for that price, I was more than happy with. So let's get into the grades here. We might as well segue into that. In part, I left fairly happy with how my draft went, all things considered. But I did not like my team the best. I'm not going to Heino Hex myself. That would be a...
I mean, I hear you. I love
that would
my team.
Be beside
I,
the
as soon
point.
As I got, as soon as I got Zeke, I threw my hands up in the air and I proclaimed a cat. I'm like, I can't believe that worked.
Yep.
I can't believe I pulled this off. And now,
we got a long way to go.
I mean, if one of them gets injured, I'm done. If one of them gets injured, I'm done. If I'm 2-4 come like week 6, I'm probably going to start thinking about trading one of them for some wide receiver depth. So it's just, it's really going to be those first like 6-7 weeks. How do they go? And then we go.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
So let's, I guess we might as well go team by team. I posted a lot of my thoughts. We'll start with I'll start with the first one on my screen here, which is Gelch. And like I said before, I thought Gelch, he overpaid, but he overpaid for guys he really liked. And I just happened to like those guys as well. Like, I was high on Gordon. And I'm very high on Chris Carson as somebody who owned him last year before he got hurt. Goodwin, I'm high on as a Niners fan. So he overpaid, but he overpaid for guys he believed in. Now, that puts a lot of burden on those guys to produce to what he paid for. But I do like his chances of being competitive in that sense. Needs a little work at receiver, but I think he'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, agree. I'm looking at his team here now, and I see that in protest, he's put a bunch of his players on his bench to extend his bench out. But, I mean, you know, I think Watson was a good grab. I personally had Watson as my third overall QB, but I also had a very high risk factor on him. So if I had gotten him, I would have paired him. If things had gone differently, I would have paired him with another quarterback just to make sure I had some buffer, which he hasn't done yet, but he did buffer his – basically, he took a trio of tight ends here. And hopefully one of them will pan out. And frankly, between Njoku, between Reed, and who was the last Walker. Guy, the Walker. I mean, he's got three. He's got a solid option in Delanie Walker, who should score. And then if Walker, Njoku Walker or Reed pans out,
Walker is the floor there. Reed and Njoku are the ceiling. So
exactly, yeah. And he's got the ability to trade those. I like the grab in Melvin Gordon. He was my fifth running back on the board. Royce Freeman is an interesting case because I think just so many people just assume that he's going to get that job. But Devontae Booker is not as bad as people remember. And so I especially early on, I mean, maybe by mid-year, maybe by game six, Royce Freeman takes over. But for the first few weeks, they're not going to just hand that to Royce Freeman. He's going to have to prove it. So that could end up tampering him, and that could even end up hurting him in the first week when we do our maelstrom, our rumble.
Potentially.
Because you know, potentially.
What has two thumbs and has Royce or not Royce Freeman, but Devontae Booker on his team? This guy. I actually think Devontae Booker is horrible. I watched him run in a few games last year. I didn't think he was very good at all. And it was like there were times last year, and I even think like 2 years ago, where it seemed like the Broncos were trying to give him a chance to grab the job away from CJ Anderson. And it was like, here, Devontae, here, we're going to give you more carries this week. You know, let's see what you do with it. And he fell flat on his face. And then by the end of the year, it was CJ Anderson again.
You know, I hear where you're coming from, but let's face it, is that their QB situation was absolutely horrible. So they were facing more in the box. And so obviously with Case Keenum, that should help him a little bit. But number two is they went out and got themselves a nice big offensive lineman in Garrett Bowles. So I think those two things should help increase the production from Booker. And at the very least, I see this for the first 6 weeks as a split backfield at the most. I don't think it's going to be one guy's. They might just ride the hot hand. They, you know, I mean, maybe Royce takes over. I think he's got that potential. Obviously, he had some phenomenal games when he was at Oregon, but it's just right out of the gate. I think that's a tough – that's for me, I would not want Royce Freeman as my number two running back. If it's me, I stick Carson in there. I even stick James White in there, honestly.
Well, especially early until I see how banged up the New England backfield is right now. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Well, as a Devontae Booker owner for $1, I'm hoping you're right on that prediction. I'll take a split backfield. All right, let's see. We covered your team pretty well in depth there. I'm moving on to the Goop clan.
Okay.
I generally liked what they had. I gave them a B minus, which might have been a little. It was on the border between a B minus and a B. I think just for spreading things out, I gave them a B minus instead of a B.
Yep.
Because I'm a little concerned about Dalvin Cook and Mike Evans. I'm not 100% sold on Dalvin Cook and him being an elite number one running back coming back from an ACL injury. I
agree with you. And what blows my mind is that he went for the price he did, and Latavius Murray, he went for $1 or $2. Right. I mean, Murray's going to get 100, 150 carries, no question, and he should get the goal line work to start. So to me, it's just, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of Cook between the 20s. I think once you get in the red zone, I think you're going to see Murray. And, you know, as for Evans, he's got the first three games with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Right.
I thought it was three.
Okay. Well, it's two or three games, but either way, I mean, I don't think he's going to be hyper-targeted by Fitzpatrick in the first few games, and so it might take a while for him to get rolling. I really did like their pickup of Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb was one of the guys that I really liked, and I was hoping would fall to a lower amount than what he went for. I do a lot of statistical work, and one of the things that I pulled from one of my draft kits in the reception perception was I was able to see their route running success against all the different types of coverage. And when you put all those together and you average them out, I mentioned it on the thread earlier tonight, but Adam Thielen comes in at like 81.5% success rate, but Randall Cobb comes in at like number three or four at like 76% success rate. So now obviously that was in limited snaps with what he did last year to a degree, but the fact is that, you know, he has success, and now there's no more Jordan Nelson. Yes, there's Davante Adams, but Randall Cobb should be back and fully healthy. I think that's a guy that, you know, you bought him for, you know,
$9 you got him for.
Yeah. $9. And I think he can end up producing like a solid wide receiver too. And that's exactly what you want to spend on that type of player.
I think it's good value. I don't know that I'm as high on him as you are. I think he's going to be fine, but I just wonder if there's somebody else who might emerge in that Green Bay passing game, like the guy I took with my last pick, Gmo. All right. Off to Mr. Pelotas, Tim. Let's see here. Tim, I gave... What did I give Tim? Did I give him a C?
I think you gave him a C plus.
Yeah. Yeah, four quarterbacks.
I don't really get that.
I'm intrigued. And also with the four quarterbacks that he chose, could see... I can't see drafting four quarterbacks under any circumstance, but
unless you're in a two QB league, I don't really understand this. I mean, basically his bench consists of Terrell Pryor and Corey Coleman, Brandon Marshall. I mean, there's just
no depth at all.
There's no depth, and he's got two running backs on his team right now. So I think Tim just panicked in the draft. I think he just, I don't know, his eyes rolled in the back of his head or something.
You think he got bored?
Maybe he got bored, or he just, he pooped the bed. I don't understand that. Maybe he thought he was being able to trade quarterbacks for something, but that's a Chaz strategy circa 2011.
You know, I didn't even notice that he had two running backs only. If I had noticed that beforehand, I probably would have put him down there with Jake.
I mean, he's got two solid running backs. I'll give him that. He's literally going to have to add another running back to this roster by week four. That's when McCaffrey's bye week is. So I don't know if you're a great show it that way, but for me, Tim had the worst class.
I gave it to Jake, but now that I see that, I should go back and revise my grade. Sorry, Tim. Just two running backs is ugh. All right.
I don't know what to say about this. I'm curious to see what McCaffrey does. I think CJ Anderson is underrated. I think he's going to take in the carries. I realize that they've talked about getting McCaffrey 20 or whatever touches a game. But
I'll believe
I
that when I see it. They talked about that last year too. Like, oh, he's going to get so many touches, and he did. He got a decent amount, but it wasn't like bell cow status.
Exactly. And so for me, I'm curious to see what McCaffrey does. Obviously, I think Hunt's going to be good, but that's just not enough to carry you over. All right. Sorry.
Ryan. I didn't mind Ryan's team here. The two tight end formation. You know, he's done that before, and it's been successful for him.
I mean, he goes after,
catchers.
Yes, he does. I think Drake is going to be an interesting grab. You know, obviously you have Frank Gore there, but just he's had limited work. But when he was given like bell cow, like the last five games of last year, he produced. Now, what's interesting is that And those in four of those five games that he really produced when he was given like bell cow touches, he had a 30-yard run or more in four of those five games. When you take out that 30-yard run, his yards per carry dropped to like – it was like 3.3, 3.1, 3.6. It was never above four. So number one, is he capable of getting bell cow touches consistently with Frank Gore there? And number two, is he going to be too reliant on those kind of big, you know, gashing runs? And if he doesn't get one, he's going to be very average. I don't know. Personally, I just don't like the Dolphins this year. So I'm not going to really touch a Dolphin outside of the guy I picked up for cheap because I think he's going to get catches. But I don't have high hopes for the Dolphins in terms of fantasy producers.
Yeah.
And I'll even go out as far as saying I don't think a single position player, QB, running back, tight end, wide receiver ends up as a running back one or quarterback one or tight end one or wide receiver one. I just don't think – I don't see that happening.
And this is another window into how I draft. When there's a guy who, you know, kind of gets a job late in the season and has, you know, maybe five, six good games towards the end of a season, the next season, his value for me tends to get overblown in a draft. Mm-hmm. And so I try to stay away from those guys. So I wasn't about to get Kenyon Drake this year. I wasn't about to get Alex Collins, for instance, because I don't think those guys generally have a good lock on the job. And I think that they got the job because they were the hot hand at the time and they could lose the job if they're not the hot hand this year. So
yeah.
I tend to stay away from those guys.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I agree with you there. I do like his depth at running back, though.
He does have a lot of depth. Isaiah Crowell and Bucks. I didn't have enough money at that point in the draft, or else I would have got higher.
Michelle and Penny, I think, are two
gonna
guys
have to,
that
right,
by mid-season could end up being.
We'll see how patient he is, but I agree. Yeah,
you know,
they could be studs in the second half of the season.
And let's face it, good grab and Phil Rivers for cheap.
Yep.
I mean, the guy's going to produce
Rivers and Ryan, so he can. He can kind of go back and forth if he wants to at quarterback there. Overall, solid. Freeman's usage I get concerned with just because of the Sark factor in Atlanta. Baldwin's health is a question this year. You know, there's reports that have come out that say he's basically going to try to play through the pain this season, and you never like to hear that. We'll see how Baldwin reacts to that. But overall, not bad. On to Jake, which is the next guy up on my screen here. Jake left some money on the table.
Yeah, quite a bit
of
money, right?
I think it was $24 at the end he left with.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where, you know, he had like $90 left and everybody else was at like 70 or below. And I'm like, all right, now we're going to see Jake really start pushing around. And, like, with the exception of a few players, which he did, like, go a little bit above, I felt like he backed out on players that he probably could have easily nabbed for a dollar or two more that he should have, but he didn't. And then he ends up with, you know, as much money. So, I mean, Jake basically did what Gates has done to a degree. So we'll see how his team fares because of it. But I do like – I like Stills. I like Gordon. Obviously, I like Michael Thomas. And Joe Mixon, I know you're out on him. I'm ambivalent. I don't know. I think he could be the next Le'Veon Bell, and he could also be the next Eddie Lacy. I don't know. Luck is interesting to me in that he didn't draft a backup QB.
He did, Mahomes.
Normally, he did. Oh, you're right. Sorry, he did. I see Luck in preseason. I think, oh, well, he looks like he's back, but it's not the same. So it's not the same as regular season. So I question Luck's durability, and I don't want to be using Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback throughout the year if I don't have to. Normally, I would say go grab a QB on waivers, but Tim took care of making sure that
there are no waiver quarterbacks. So, well, there are still, despite
Tim's hoard.
There are a few. Yeah, I wonder if we had Jake on here, you know, if we said, Jake, you have $24, how would you spend that, or how would you redo some of your picks if you had that $24 mm-hmm. to burn? And, you know, I wonder, I wonder what he would have ended up doing. If, you know, does he go get a number one RB instead of Thomas? Does he, you know, instead of getting Mixon, does he, you know, go for somebody like Fournette or something? I don't know. I'd be interested to see what he would do differently, given how that played out. All right.
Yep. Taking the gamble on Dez Bryant, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, he dropped him, didn't he? Like, no, he's still got Dez Bryant on his team. He dropped George Kittle.
Well,
yeah. See. So, I mean, at what point does he drop Dez Bryant?
I don't know.
We'll see. I'm going to put over under. He'll drop him after week one.
Mike.
You know, I just freaking Mike is just so consistent with his team building. I love his team. Like a lot. And and the only reason why I wouldn't have him higher is because I thought that Mancuso and Kat did a better job overall. But I mean, for me, I mean, it's almost like a 1A, 1B, 1C situation here with those three teams.
I don't see Mike's team quite as highly as you do. I'm a little skeptical of Jerick McKinnon. I don't like the tea leaves in San Francisco right now with how well Alfred Morris has done in the preseason, and McKinnon's Fair been enough. Hurt, and the presence of Breida. I do think that is going to tend to be more of a committee than McKinnon taking sole possession of that job. And a lot of the beat writers I follow out there seem to think so as well. So that pick concerns me. Gurley, fine, $64, elite running back. Jones, $50, you know, elite wide receiver. You hope you're getting the 2016 version of Julio Jones and not the 2017 version of Julio Jones. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. Cam for six, you know, could be the number one. Could be.
That was a freaking steal. Holy crap.
$6. Yep.
If I had bet a dollar more at $5, I grabbed him at $6. Although I think Mike would have outbid me for $7 to that point.
Another tip on my draft strategy. I ended up with Brady for 10, which was not my intention. I was just trying to bid him up. One of my targets was to get Cam around that price range if I could. That was one of my
I had Cam as my number two things. QB. Yep. So, you know, I he's got a lot of upside. I really like Sammy Watkins this year.
I don't like Sammy Watkins. I like Mike's team and Kat's team. I don't think he's going to do anything.
I think he's going to produce. No, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily going to be wide receiver one, but I think relative to the cost that he did, I think he's going to produce. But that I saw that a lot. Mike and Kat both picked up a lot of guys that I had on my lists. Sammy Watkins, I really like. DeSean Jackson, I really like. I equally like Chris Godwin, which is why I was very happy to get him. Mike Williams, Alan Hearns, Latavius Murray, those were all guys that I was hoping to get for $1 or $2, and Mike just snagged them out from under me. So.
He did a good job with his dollar, $2 picks. I definitely agree there. He got some solid guys there. DeSean Jackson, I'm out on. I like Godwin better. I liked you grabbing Godwin for your team there. That was a guy I kind of had circled as well. Other than that, it's solid at the top. He's got decent depth, and you know I like him to be a playoff contender again this year.
I would agree.
Off to Joe. Joe O'Brien, that is.
The Hex. No, you said O'Brien. Habu and a boo boo. Okay. I like Joe's team for the most part. You know, he got Stafford, which was the guy that I would have targeted. I like Kamara, obviously. I like Lewis. I like Hill. I love Thielen this year.
You're just high on all the Vikings, and I'm very high on the Vikings.
Yes. So here's why I'm high on the Vikings, and part of it is you put in that article about his arm strength. When Kirk Cousins plays in his career, when he plays in what's considered like moderate weather, which is like 61 to 79 degrees, which is what you play in an indoor stadium, he has almost a 70% completion rate. So I just can't pass that up. And again, with how good Thielen and Diggs were last year with Case Keenum, I can't, and given the fact that I believe Kirk Cousins will throw about 100 more balls than Keenum did, I just can't not believe that those two guys are going to be. I believe both of them will be solidly wide receiver two or higher. I'm very high on both.
I'm just down on the production of the Vikings offense overall. I don't think they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. I don't think Cousins is going to be throwing that much. And when he does, I think he's going to throw it around or spread it around more than you think. Just watching him at practice, he is not afraid to target the third and fourth receivers. I saw him go through a whole 2-minute drill where Laquon Treadwell was his only target and Thielen and Diggs were on the field for that drill. You know, I'm just saying he's going to spread it out more than people think. So that's why I'm out.
I mean, that's possible, but do you also think that given how much you've watched them recently, that your bias has maybe gone a little too far?
No, I don't. Okay. Also, having their defense the last few years and having Diggs last year, I watched a lot of Vikings games, and the way Mike Zimmer likes to play it is defense is going to win me games. They're not going to go for it on fourth down to try and extend drives. They're going to punt. They're going to play ball control and time of possession so they don't wear out the defense. I just don't see it being an offensive juggernaut. I could be completely wrong, but I just think that's how Zimmer prefers to play it.
Just props to Joey, you know, for picking up the Ravens defense against the Bills. I mean, spectacular first defense to pick up if you're going to go streaming this year.
I'm usually very high on having the Ravens defense. They're usually pretty solid.
Yeah, I like the rest of his team. Jamal Williams has got a shot. I like Sanu. Sanu is sneaky production for being so low. I think a lot of people think Calvin Ridley's going to be more.
Oh no, that offense revolves around most Sanu. That's Sark's favorite player. I mean,
so and then Juju. I mean,
Juju's an overpay. 25 is too much.
I agree, but at the same time, it's just knowing how much trust Ben Roethlisberger now has in those three guys and Brown, Bell, and Juju. I feel like those three guys combined are going to combine for like 70% of his targets. And if Juju gets anywhere, if he gets what he got last year, I think he'll produce. And he's obviously being tutored by the best receiver in the league. I don't know. I agree. It's tough to live up to that hype, but I mean, top 18 for Juju. I don't see
top 18. I think he's maybe a low end number two, high end number three wide receiver, which I think for $25 is too much. Sorry. On to, let's see here, Joe Mancuso.
All right, so on to our Hino Hex. Good choice, honestly. I was just before this podcast, I'm starting to do my version of the rankings, and one of the ways that I'm doing that is I'm equating, if you were to order every player as they were bought in terms of the amount, and then you order them in terms of like a snake draft from most expensive to least expensive. I did the first six rounds to start myself off just to get that data going. And Joe Mancuso has the most picks between first and fourth round combined out of everybody. So, and to be fair, most of them are two, threes, and fours.
Right.
But I mean, that's exactly what that's what he did. He got didn't spend more than $34 on a player. And he got all just solid players. I'm very, very high on Jordan Howard.
I was high on Howard. He was somebody I was considering as well. I like that pick. I think Cooks is okay at $20. I'm not thrilled with it, but I don't hate it either. I like Sanders.
Yeah, I think Sanders are great. I like Diggs. I love Hilton. I'm not thrilled with like Aaron Jones or Devontae Parker, but you know, I mean, those are what they are. I'm like second pick in Mariota. Yeah. Exactly. I think if there's anybody outside of Tim, this might be one of the few rosters that stays consistent throughout the year if all those guys are doing what they're supposed to do, which I think they will.
Yeah, so. I agree there. Diggs to me can make or break this team. If he gets hurt he's got enough depth to cover for it, but Dig, I think
he does. That's what it is, right? Is can Diggs play more than 13 games, 12 games?
I'm not sure that he can, but we'll see. On
what was your decision making process? Because obviously your two candidates were Cat and Joe for,
it was very close.
What made you,
Cat's team now. We didn't do that yet. So let's do Cat's team now. And then I'll explain. So Cat, you know, Brown and Beckham, I mean, that's impressive right there, right off the bat.
And you know what's funny is I obviously I'm sitting on the couch next to her as we're doing this, and she did not intend to get Beckham, but she's like, he can't go for only $52. And I'm like, no, I get it. And then she got him, and she's like, all right, well, I guess my plan is changing, because that was not her strategy at all to get those two guys. But you know what? If you're going to get two wide receivers, those are the guys to get because they're giving you the – those are high-floor, high-ceiling guys. Like, you just you can't go wrong there.
Exactly. LeSean McCoy, $29. I guess I'm higher on McCoy than the fantasy consensus out there.
I'm in agreement with you. I mean, I think he's going to get 300 touches.
I still think he's going to be a workhorse back. Maybe he won't be quite as effective as he was, but he's going to get all the work. You know,
yes.
And I don't think this investigation is going to amount to anything.
And you know what? If it does, it's not going to amount to anything until next year, because the NFL is always so far.
In my dynasty,
in my dynasty this year, I'm going for the title. And I was able to trade Chris Godwin for LeSean McCoy straight up as soon as that news broke, because the owner offered him to me in panic. And because I had said to him before that, I said, hey, I'm interested in McCoy. Let's see if we can work something out. He's like, no, I really like McCoy. He panicked. And now McCoy is my fourth running back behind Kamara, DJ, and Howard. So I'm ecstatic with that. And the guy's going to freaking eat. He's going to eat. His yards per carry might drop, but who the hell cares? He's getting all the goal line work.
He's going to catch some passes too. He's decent at catching passes. He's going to be fine.
Yep. Love the barber.
Oh yeah, that was so cheap. I mean, maybe doesn't work. My favorite pick that Kat had on her team was Peyton Barber.
I mean, you know, I don't know,
for $3.
I have a hard time believing that. Obviously, Ronald Jones has looked horrible in preseason. But they did spend a second or a third round pick on him, so I have a hard time believing that he's not going to get at least some work.
Yeah, I'm with you, but for $3,
yes, I agree.
For a potential
starting
running back, I think it's a phenomenal pick.
Yep, I was very high in Fuller. She grabbed a lot of my sleepers. I was getting annoyed because I had started queuing up all the guys that I wanted that were like the $1, $2, $3 range. And then just every time she bought somebody, it was just like, beep, beep. Like, the person just coming off my queue. Like, they're just disappearing. Freaking John Ross and Nick Chubb were two guys that I really, really wanted. I thought I would get them for $1. And she just snagged them out from under me.
Good job by her. The only one I'm a little iffy on is Alex Collins. And I explained that before. Running backs who have five or six good games towards the end of a season, I'm not willing to pay that much for. I just got burned by Justin Forsett in 2015. So... That's the battle scar there.
Right. So what's the reason then after reviewing Cat's team?
I think for me, honestly, it was very close. I gave it to Joe because I like his bench just a little bit better. I like, Jones, Clement, Keelan Cole, Galladay. I kind of like that collection just a bit better than I like Moncrief, Doug Martin, Theo Riddick, OJ Howard, and Joe also has tight end secured. Cat doesn't. Joe's got Travis Kelce. Cat has, like I said, OJ Howard.
That's fair.
So I would lean Joe just because of that.
Okay.
We'll do me next. Even though we kind of talked about my team, you can give your thoughts. Go ahead.
So, I mean, obviously I get that you weren't going for Brady, but I think Brady for $10 is good money. My only concern is that, look, at some point the trade is going to run out.
Yep.
And I don't know when that's going to be.
Very
this
wary
year,
of that,
that's going to suck.
Very wary of that.
I liked Fournette a lot. I'm more optimistic, I think, on Henry than I think most other people are. I've given some of the stats I believe on him previously where I think he's going to get 225 carries, which is now born on workhorse. So I think, and just with Deion Lewis's health, I just think Henry's going to be the guy there. So I much like that pick for not very cheap. Obviously, Hopkins is going to get, maybe outside of Brown or OBJ, the most targets in the league. Thomas is the only wide receiver with 75 plus more catches in six straight seasons. So he's got an upgrade at So there's no reason to see that he would slow down. I get that he's a little bit older, but I still think he's going to produce. Obviously, Robert Woods is a good pick. Zach Ertz is a great pick. Peterson, we'll see what he's got in the tank.
I mean, you know, he's a flex at this point for me, so
yeah,
we'll see if he pans out.
I already mentioned I wanted Aguilar. I get why you did Yeldon, right? Because you just want to give yourself a little bit of a handcuff for Fournette. Westbrook, I think it's going to be Westbrook or Keelan Cole,
right?
And we just don't know who it's going to be. So that's a shot play. I don't get Rob Kelly, but I get it if you pick Adrian Peterson, assuming that Peterson's going to go bye bye at some point.
Right, I'm kind of just investing in the Washington backfield and saying somebody is going to be getting the goal line and first and second down work. Chris Thompson is not going to be the bell cow. And I don't think P. Ryan is going to be the guy. Just reading reports, Kelly has looked impressive. And Peterson, they brought in, obviously, he had like 50 yards and 11 carries in the first preseason game that he played. So it's kind of just a dart throw with the Washington backfield. I was looking around at that point in the draft, and it looked like the only one that was left at that point that has like at least a little bit of potential to give you some playable players. So that's why it wasn't my intention to go after the Washington backfield when this draft started, but here we are.
You're fluid. That's what matters. Obviously, I've given my thoughts on Booker, and I really like Geronimo Allison. I think he's a sneaky play. I think Rodgers has proven that as long as he's fully healthy for the year number one, if he is, he's usually a top two quarterback. But number two is that he's fully capable of supporting two wide receiver twos or better. I get that Randall Cobb is sort of the guy that you think is going to be there, but I think Allison could easily take James Jones, Devontae Adams' role from a few years ago, catch 50 balls for 600 yards and like six touchdowns. And given the cost
for
him, he
could be like a James Jones, have a James Jones type of season or something like that.
Exactly. Yep. So I like your team very much top to bottom. I think you put a solid team together. I get why you spent the money on Jaguars defense. I don't think they're going to repeat this year the way they did last year. I think they benefited from some of the teams that they played last year that just weren't where they needed to be in terms of competition wise. And I think we're going to see a little bit of a regression this year with them, but I think they'll still be top four, but I think they're going to, I don't necessarily know if they're going to return you spent $3 on them value. But I mean, at the end of the day, I spent $2 on the Vikings. So who the hell knows?
I don't know what to expect. I don't think they're going to be as good or as dominant as they were last year, but also, I kind of said to myself, if the Jaguars are out there, I'm gonna go for $3 and see if I get them.
Sure.
And I was not expecting it to happen. I was thinking that they would go for four or five or six, and then I would have tapped out. But as luck would have it, three was enough. And now, hopefully, I don't have to stream defenses, so maybe that can free up my bench a little bit throughout the season.
Yep, I
so,
did that last year a lot. I was streaming a lot this year, last year. I'm hoping with the Vikings.
I'm hoping that at least if they're good enough to be playable every week where I don't have to worry about the matchup and they'll still put up a decent amount of points, that maybe it frees up my bench spots. So we'll see.
Yep.
And saves me some auction money. And the last person is Johnny.
Yep, I like Johnny's team a lot. I just, obviously I don't think Jonathan Williams is going to do anything, but he's got Mark Ingram, so he's always got to wait a few weeks. The only downside is that he's going to get to use Mark Ingram once in the first seven weeks. That's going to be just wasting a bench spot, wasting away. But I think once he comes back, I think he'll be back to the same production. Yeah, maybe a little bit less, because I know typically when you come off the PD stuff, you're typically a little bit less productive, but I still think he's going to get work. And if Ingram is your flex guy, you're fine.
Yeah, if he can get by the first half of the season and Ingram comes back and is what he was, or at least close to what he was last year, then that's going to be a scary team. Saquon, I like Saquon a lot. I don't really see too many avenues where he, outside of getting hurt, I don't see too many avenues where he doesn't have a big year. Fitz is Fitz. Now, at least this year, you had to pay for Fitz.
I feel like Fitz has been on such an upswing where it's like, every year he's going to catch 100 balls. But just for whatever reason, people kept saying, he's too old. But he's not. The thing is, he changed the way the type of receiver he is. And so he can still keep going. I think you could see Fitz another 2 years, honestly, I think you can see him this year and still next year producing it at a high level.
At least I made Johnny pay for him this year.
Yes, you did.
Russell.
I like Marvin Jones.
Wilson and for 15. Adam, sorry.
Yeah, I get that. But again, I mean, he is, outside of like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, he is the most consistent quarterback by far. I've mentioned my consistency charts that I have access to. He is consistently, every year of his career, he's been seventh or QB or better. So at some point, you have to say, okay, well, the dude's worth the money. Yeah. So, but that being said, I'm not a fan of the Seahawks offense this year.
Me neither. I've seen too many games where they've struggled in the past, and I don't know what that's going to look like this year.
The guy I'm really curious about is Lynch. You know, I think had he not gone off for like a 65-yard run in the preseason that got called back that everybody saw and blew Twitter up, and everyone, I think Lynch would have gone for cheap. I think people would have just kind of written him off a little bit. But because of that, I think people are like, oh, well, Lynch, I guess, has got something in the tank. And, you know, he goes for a little bit more than he probably should have. But I think he's
going to
produce.
I have no feel for how Oakland is going to do with John Gruden this year. I just have zero feel
whatsoever. I get that.
I mean, they could be great. I get that. They could be just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Amari Cooper, and, you know, we didn't talk about him on Gelch's team, but, you know, a Cooper is that guy that can be an X factor for Gelch and win him a week. And
Amari Cooper won you exactly 1 week last year.
Yes,
that
he did.
Kansas
yep.
City game. So he's good for that. One of those a year.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Is with Gruden, you hear all these things about, oh, you know, his number one receiver always gets like 100 something targets, but it's like he hasn't coached in 10 years. So are we seeing the John Gruden offense from, you know, when he last coached? Because if that's the case, I don't know if that team's going to produce. I just don't.
I'm not sure either. That's why I said I have no feel whatsoever on how Oakland is going to look and how they're going to do. That's why in none of my leagues so far, I have no Oakland players on any of my rosters. Yep. So it's only been two leagues that we've drafted in, but there's no Oakland players on either of them. So that about wraps it up, and we're just short of an hour here.
Nice.
Expanded edition.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I'm looking forward to the season. It's weird because usually we do our draft much closer to the actual playing time. So we're going to have this last week to sort of tinker. I mean, obviously waivers are going to go through tomorrow. And by the time this is posted, waivers will have processed, my guess is, because I'm not going to get this up till tomorrow.
Right.
But I think we're still going to see some movement around the league with some people grabbing waiver wire people and, we'll see. I mean, this last preseason game is not going to change anything for anybody. So we're just waiting mode, and then we're going to see if anybody's going to get too tired of what they're looking at and make changes, or if everyone's going to sit tight.
Yeah, if people read an article on somebody and say, "Ooh, I got to have this guy. Is he available?"
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I'm all good.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps up for this edition of Chief and Chad's Power Half Hour. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, if you want to submit a question, remember to download the Anchor app and then search for Chief and Chaz with an ampersand, and you can submit a question to us, a voicemail question to us that way. And then please, whatever podcast platform you're on, please leave us a review, subscribe, and we'll see you next week on Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.